Reformed Church.
Right now, I wanted to give you the secret solution to, at least one of them, to guarding your heart and reducing the amount of persecution in your life. Because granted, you're going to, as the Bible would say, suffer persecution. And just so you know, the word suffer, when it's being used that way, it just means to undergo a hardship. It doesn't mean like bodily pain and all that. I've taught on persecution in the past, and of course, we're suffering with Jesus right now in his glory. So you got to look at Jesus in his glory right now, and whatever he gets is what you get. And because Jesus is hated today, that's why they're going to hate you also. I could do a whole teaching on that, but we're relating with the glorified Jesus. So the suffering of persecution that we go through today as believers, the only kind that we must go through is the same kind that Jesus is going through right now today in his glory. Not in his earthly ministry, not on the cross. We look at the glory of the Lord as in a mirror, right? 2 Corinthians 3:18. It's so, so important. We're joint heirs right now with Jesus in his glory, not as he was, but as he is, so are we in this world. There's a lot of scripture for this. With that said, persecution is going to come, which just means opposition from people. It doesn't mean being vulnerable to them or something like that. It just means you will be opposed. Isaiah 54 says, surely, it's a promise, surely they will gather together against you, but not by the Lord, but they will fall for your sake. Those are the promises we have in Scripture. So that's how persecution should look like. People opposing you, for sure, because they oppose Jesus. And if you're of Jesus and joint heirs with him, you're going to get what he gets. And if that's opposition, it just kind of comes with the territory. But for one, you know it's not from the Lord. That's important. And you also know that you have a promise that you can tap into by faith. That is, they will fall for your sake. Whole bunch of teaching, even in the Don't Touch My Church message, I taught on that. But who doesn't want to reduce the opposition? That's not a bad thing, right? To reduce opposition so you don't have to even deal with it to begin with. I'm not saying you're not going to get any of it. You're going to get opposition. Surely they will gather together against you. But it'd be nice to reduce it, right? Because there's stuff that you have to go through. And by go through, of course, I'm talking about circumstantially, people's opposition. And then there's stuff that you just signed up for. And you did it to yourself. We could do without that, right? I'll tell you this. You're going to get enough opposition if you continue in the faith and if it's coming out of your mouth and if the Holy Spirit's transformation is in your life. If the Spirit of the Lord of glory rests upon you, all who desire to live godly will suffer persecution. So you'll get persecution, but it'd be nice to slice out the stuff that's unnecessary and not have to deal with the unnecessary stuff, right? Here's the secret recipe, okay? Don't hang out with fools. That's the secret recipe right there. It's a good guard your heart mechanism, and it reduces persecution. The Bible says this, okay? First of all, the Lord gave me a word that sort of spurred this on recently. But scripturally, the Bible says that there are some things that you bring on yourself. Persecution. You set yourself up for it, and then you experienced it because you set yourself up for it. And it'd be great to just reduce that, right? Because when people are opposing you, let me tell you this. When someone is opposing you, you may say, well, I don't care. I don't care if people oppose me. Okay, you can say you don't care. But if you read the parable of the sower, persecution comes as a temptation to choke the word of God out of your mind. Okay? So we need to be wise to flee temptation. As a believer, you don't put yourself in a position where you might be tempted to do something wrong, including giving up the word of God. Okay, the Bible says, flee youthful lusts. Paul told Timothy, flee youthful lusts. You don't, Jesus told his disciples to pray and stay awake that you might not enter into temptation. Some people will say, and just so you know, persecution, people's persecution against you is a temptation. It doesn't mean you have to fall for it, right? But it's a temptation to soften up on the things you're learning or to give it up. In the parable of the sower, it was persecution and afflictions for the word's sake that made them say, you know what, I'm going to kind of, maybe it was soften up on this at first, and then it turned into, you know what, I'm not even seeking the Lord anymore. So it is a temptation, and the only people that subject themselves to temptation are immature people. if anyone ever tells you, you know what, I know that this isn't necessarily of God, like I know that my friends, you know, don't have an interest in the Lord, but I'm strong enough. How many of you heard that before? I'm strong enough, I'm mature enough for this. I was talking to someone one time, they were reading this book, and just a really stupid book, right? Like, not of the Lord. And I was like, why are you reading that? And they're like, yeah, it has some stuff in it. Like, but you know, I'm mature enough to know better than that. I talked to a parent, I've told you guys this before, I've talked to a parent years ago, and their kid was learning evolution in school. And you know, everybody may not agree with me on that, but the Lord created things to produce after their kind. That's like an actual thing in the Bible, right? After their kind. Small changes is fine. Things produce after their kind, though. And I said, you know, she don't have to stay in that class. Like, we have permission from the Lord to not subject ourselves to unbelief. If you don't believe it, then you don't have to stay there. And the answer was, oh, but she's strong enough, she's mature enough to know better than that. Okay. Here's a good phrase to remember. Seeing as the Lord already tells us to flee youthful lusts and not enter into temptation, right? If you're not mature enough to flee temptation, you're certainly not mature enough to resist it. Mature people flee temptation. Mature people know the danger of temptation enough to say, I'm not hanging out with that, okay? And that goes for anything. If something is a temptation to you, don't hang out around it. If it's drinking, don't hang out at the bar. I mean, probably shouldn't be doing that anyway, right? Don't hang out with friends that drink, even if it's just socially and it's okay. You can have a cup of wine, whatever, right? Don't do that. Why? Because if it's a temptation to you, then don't subject yourself to it. And knowing that persecution that comes from foolish people, obviously, is a temptation to give the Word of God up, if you play around hanging out with people that you know aren't interested. I'm not talking about people that cuss you out and don't want anything to do with you. I'm saying people that aren't interested in the Word of God, and you know that. If you hang out with that crowd, you're playing with temptation. And here's what the Bible says. I mean, I have a lot of scripture, and I'm going to have to just read you this quickly, but in Proverbs chapter 9, it's talking about wisdom. Read the whole chapter of Proverbs 9, though. Great, just great advice. I mean, of course, everything in the Bible is, but I mean, it's just, it just stands out to me. Proverbs 9 talks about wisdom and how wisdom is calling out and all this stuff. And then this is what wisdom says, all right? Wisdom is like a personification of Jesus in Proverbs. It's a symbol, right? And people may say, oh, is Jesus a girl? Or Jesus is represented by a lamb in the Bible. He's not an animal, right? It's a symbol. So the woman wisdom represents Jesus. In verse 6, wisdom says, forsake the foolish and live. It could potentially be your life at stake to hang out with the wrong people. Crazy, right? Because if it's a temptation to the Word of God, and the Word of God is your life, there's an indirect correlation there to your very life being at stake by hanging out with the wrong people. Really serious thing. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. And then check this out. It says, he that reproves a scorner, scorner is someone that despises the gospel, gets to himself shame. And he that rebukes a wicked man gets to himself a blot, which means a blemish. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Let's go back to verse 7. He that rebukes a scorner, reproves, means like you're trying to correct, right? You're trying to teach a scorner. Listen to this. Gets to himself shame, meaning that you did that to yourself. If you get shamed in the process, when you know that someone is not interested in the Word of God, and you persist in hanging out with them, I want to keep teaching them, because at least there's a seed sown, right? People say that, Christians say, at least I'm sowing a seed. Not necessarily, because if you look at the parable of the sower, not all the seed gets in, if you didn't know that. The first kind of ground, where the seed that was sown on the wayside never got in. They got to receive it for you to be sowing a seed. Otherwise, you might be throwing a seed out your mouth, but it doesn't mean you're sowing a seed. It might not be getting planted, because they got to accept it into their earthen mind for it to be planted. So you could just be throwing seed and it's bouncing off their head if they're not willing to receive it. And this is saying, if you know someone is a scorner and you are still trying to teach them, you're getting to yourself shame. But what's this saying? Don't do that. If you already know there is a person, now, you know, sometimes, you know, we can be hard-headed and someone doesn't agree with you at first. I'm not talking about that person. I'm talking about a person that you know doesn't receive the Word of God. It's not always try again. There are people, church, many people may not agree with this, but this is what this is saying, that there are people you stop preaching the gospel to, even if it's just for a time. But there are people that you say, I'm not going to try to reprove you. I'm not going to try to correct you or teach you. Because why? Man, I really could do a whole teaching on this, and I'm sort of tempted to, but I want to get to other stuff. But a fool in the Bible is described as someone that you can't speak to. Even Nabal, remember in 1 Samuel 25, Nabal, he's described as a fool. Ironically, his name means fool. And he's described as someone that no one can speak to. And Abigail's advice to David was, he says, let not my Lord regard this man. Let not my Lord, referring to David, regard this man. That's what you do with a fool. Don't regard them. There are people you say, you know what? I'm not regarding you. I'm not going to hang out with you. It doesn't mean if you see him at the grocery store, you can't be nice to somebody. I'm saying, I'm not investing my time with you. And I'm not going to try to correct you and teach you, because if you've proven that you don't want to hear the word of God, any shame I get, because it'll eventually happen, right? It'll eventually happen. You persist in hanging out, everything's nice. If you get shame out of that, you did that to yourself. This is persecution reduction 101. If you've talked to someone for a certain period of time and you know they're not open to the gospel, you stop talking to them. Stop reproving scorners. Because any scorn you get after that, or shame, or this says a blot, I'm not sure exactly what a blot is referring to, but I know it's not good. It means blemish, means something wrong being done to you. You did that to yourself. You get to yourself shame. The Lord told me that. He said, you know what? There's like this invisible shield, he told me the other night. There's this invisible shield that you can have for your mind. He goes, you know what it's called? And to paraphrase, he just basically said, don't hang out with fools. It's like this like crazy secret weapon that you have. Don't hang out with them to begin with. The Lord even, the other night, I was speaking by the Lord while I was praying, and I kept saying, why are there drunkards at my table? And I said, what do I have to do with you? It's true. Sometimes we just do it to ourselves. Like, what are you doing hanging out with them? Well, everybody needs the gospel. Of course everybody needs the gospel. And here's another truth to add on to that. Not everybody listens. If they're a scorner and you've proven that over a period of time, maybe it's just for a period of time. There are people the Lord's told me before, right? That like someone's going to come to the gospel at some point. Great. Someone that I know is like absolutely not receptive right now. It's not for lack of trying, right? Okay, so I don't hang out with them anymore. And you may think, well, there's no one I wouldn't hang out with. There's no one that I wouldn't speak to about the gospel. There's no, well, the Bible's saying otherwise. And if you want a few more scriptures, and I'm going to try to wrap this up in just very soon, but if you want a few more scriptures on that, don't go here. I'm just going to sort of shoot them out. Proverbs 14:7 says, go from the presence of a foolish man. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence. That's important. For out of it are the issues of life. And then it follows up in context of you keeping and guarding your heart. It says, put away from you a froward, or like a deviating mouth and perverse lips, put far from you. If someone doesn't speak according to the gospel because they're not open to it and they're foolish, it says, put that away from you. That's part of guarding your heart. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Listen closely to this. It says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 1:7 says that fools despise wisdom and destruction. Combine that verse with Proverbs 23:9, and it says, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. I'm going to read those two verses to you back to back again. Proverbs 1:7 says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. So if you're looking for who's a fool, if they've despised the wisdom and instruction and basically thought it to be a light thing, whether through mockery or whether through just disinterest, and they've made it a light thing, which is what despising something, of course, is. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's a fool. And then, okay, if fools despise wisdom and instruction, it's no wonder that Proverbs 23:9 says, don't speak in the ears of a fool, because he's going to despise the wisdom of your words. No wonder, right? Like, no kidding. If you know that someone despises wisdom, and you continue to teach them or try to hang out with them to try to shake them out of it, and you get to yourself shame, a blot, or scorn, you got to yourself shame. You did that to yourself. And again, to each his own, some people aren't interested in this particular methodology. And some people would say, well, I would never not preach the gospel to somebody. Well, you're going to get to yourself scorn. And the Bible's saying there are people you don't speak to the gospel or speak to at all to some extent, right? Again, I don't think this is talking about like pass them in a grocery store and act like you can't see them or something like that. But I'm saying there's investment of time that you say, I'm not going to invest my time with you. And he says, don't speak in the ears of a fool. That's someone that God is saying don't speak to. Even at this church, you know, I was thinking, you know, it's important even as people that are preaching at this church to be like, you know what? Not everybody that comes up and talks to you after service is someone that I'm necessarily going to want to speak to. You can tell. Are you coming up here to debate what I'm saying? Are you coming up here to ask a question for like legitimately? Or are you just like, are you receptive? Are you not receptive? It depends. You have to gauge that for yourself. But anyway, I just want to give you that sort of bit of wisdom. By the way, Proverbs 23:9 says, don't speak in the ears of a fool because he's just going to despise the wisdom of your words. And any despising that you get from that is because you did it to yourself, right? That goes hand in hand with that verse from Matthew 7:6. Where Jesus said, don't give that which is holy to dogs. A dog means a fool. You can check our glossary, reformchurch.com/glossary. A dog is a fool in the Bible, and also a pig, swine, is also a fool. And that's not on the glossary quite yet. That will be. But don't give what's holy to dog. Well, doesn't everybody need things that are holy, like the gospel? Doesn't everybody need that? Yeah. And he's telling you not to give it to them. Why? Why would God ever, you can put this verse up behind me, Matthew 7:6. Why would God ever tell you that something that's holy and precious and good for someone that don't give it to them? Why would God ever say that? Isn't that a weird thing? Holy means like it's a good thing. It's of the Lord. How is it that would have such a holy and precious thing from the Lord, the gospel, let's just talk about, right? And Jesus said, don't give it to them. Don't give it to a dog or a fool, because what do fools do? They despise wisdom and instruction. Don't give it to them. And don't cast your pearls, which I don't know what the definition of pearl is, but the one place I do know it's used, it's referred to as something of great price. So it's clearly talking about something precious in some way. Don't give something that is precious unto a swine, don't cast your pearls before a swine or a fool. Why? Lest they trample them under their feet. They're not going to use it. They're not going to use it, and then they're going to turn again and rend you. That's persecution. And if you get rended by somebody that you knew was a dog and you persisted with them, you just brought on yourself shame. So, good advice. It's just great advice. Genuinely, I would say, even myself, years ago, I would have thought there's no person that God would ever tell me, don't give something holy or something precious or the gospel to them. I wouldn't have thought that years ago. I would have thought, everybody needs the gospel, therefore it means I should always speak to everybody the gospel. Well, not so. It turns out, not so. Read the book of Proverbs. There's a lot more there, but that's just a few scriptures, because there actually is even more scripture on this particular topic. But I just want to give that to you just to give you good advice on, one, it guards your heart, because who needs to hear scorn of the gospel? I don't need that. I don't need that. I'm trying to press to learn the gospel. I don't need you speaking in my ears scorn for the gospel, or thinking like, okay, everything's okay. And then, because here's the thing too, you could think like everything's sort of smooth sailing while you're not talking about Jesus. But listen, I mean, right, just in closing, can't anybody do that, right? The Bible says, right, that when you're persecuted, I just read you this from 1 Peter, that basically happy are you because the Spirit of glory rests upon you. What we were saying was that you only get persecuted for when the Spirit of glory is upon you, meaning it's being manifested. So if you keep your light under a basket and you're not being persecuted and you think that's just a good relationship with this person. Listen, anybody can get along with the world if you're going to hide your light under a basket. They don't care about keeping the light in your mind. They just care if the light's coming out of your mouth. That's what they care about. And the same thing goes with manifestation of the Spirit. If you're not doing something that directly opposes their way of thinking or their way of living, of course you're not going to get persecuted for that. But we want to let our light so shine so people can see our good works, right, and glorify God. And for the people that don't glorify God, I'm certainly not going to put the light under a bushel so that you're made comfortable or something like that. It's just so important, right? So, of course, you're going to be able to get along with the world even if you're not talking about Jesus, or your opinion is not leaning in that direction, or if your living is not in direct contradiction with what they're doing. Of course, anyone can do that. I'm talking about letting your light so shine, or people say let your freak flag fly. That's it's not like a freaky thing, but it's certainly freaky to them. And if you kind of if you're not going to hide who you are and you're going to speak boldly, at the very least just speak comfortably about the gospel, It's better to do that with people that you know are receptive. You get a better bang for your buck hanging out with people that are receptive. That doesn't even always mean, it really doesn't even always mean hanging out with someone that is just saved. You could be unsaved and you could also be receiving the gospel. The important thing is hang out with people that are receptive, and then the seed that's coming out of your mouth is going to good use because it's actually going to go into their head and it's going to bear fruit if they keep it.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.